also, it's just fascinating how we always overreact after 2 weeks of football. The NFL's an overreaction king. I get it. We all do it. We all do it. But this season, now I'm sitting back and I'm trying to take this perspective of just letting everything play out. We are overreacting so much on a week-to-week basis, man. This is the NFL. I was listening to Raheem Morris yesterday. You brought him up. I actually was watching their Falcons press conference. That was a hell of a presser, man. Raheem's kind of funny at the podium. And he was saying, look, man, we're not going to look great every week. This league is week-to-week. As good as we feel right now, we know we can get embarrassed next week, and everybody's giving everybody their best shot. So that's why the overreaction sometimes. I'm trying to look at it as quarters. Okay, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and not really week to week, because there's just so much going on in the league, man. And matchups. It's matchup dependent. Look at all these matchups that we've seen early on. We've seen some monster matchups, Shasky. Some matchup nightmares for some of these teams.
Well, you're asking, like, why is there so much a sense of urgency? Because the season's not that long. It's not like baseball. Yeah, you can have 7 bad days. No one cares. Like, I look at the Rams right now. They're a wounded animal coming in right now. Lamb. Bah. And they're coming in right now, and they're 0-2. If they go to 0-3, just the numbers tell you their chance of making the playoffs are very, very thin. Almost non-existent.
No doubt.
So, like, I get the immediacy there. Like, and then for the Niners, like, 1-1, like, I know, like, we're in Ninerland, and things are always going to be crazy over here, but you lost to Sam Darnold and the Vikings, right? And so, like, I can understand that, and you're missing a lot of players right now. You're the best player on the team by many people's ranking, who's on the cover of one of the most popular video games, which is a cultural phenomenon. CMC is out. And we don't know how long he's out for. And then another very, very, very popular player that the league themselves partnered with Peyton Manning to do a documentary on, Deebo Samuel, now he's out, all right? And then you have this quarterback who's the Midwest aw shucks guy who was the last pick in the draft, and he's got hundreds of millions of dollars potentially in his future. Like, I think there are a lot of storylines here. And then I go back to the coach. You keep asking about the coach. It's like, dude, this is Kyle Shanahan. He's the son of someone that we all saw for 25 years in the league, and he's very influential. I look around the league. How many people have their roots with Kyle Shanahan or Mike Shanahan? I mean, you referenced the Texans earlier. Bobby Slowick, who's out there. We've got Clint Kubiak and Clay Kubiak and all the different Kubiaks, and they all have some sort of connection to what's going on with Shanahan. So I think this team is like a rock star band, you know, put together, and there's a lot of high-profile players that ignite a lot of energy.
I get it. I definitely understand it. I understand it. It's just, it's wild, though. As we get older, it feels like the urgency, we want to bench this guy, we want to play this guy, we want to bench this guy, we want to play this guy. And the Bryce Young situation is fascinating to me because the guy probably needed to sit. You know my philosophy. Now, there's rookies who's come in this league and lit it up. CJ Stroud winning Rookie of the Year. There's exceptions. This guy's going to play very, very well early on. But I love to bench a guy the first year in the league because this NFL, from college to NFL, it's just a completely different game. A lot of same formations and stuff like that. But, boy, this is grown man football. There's a big jump here. And so to throw these guys out there, like Caleb Williams, what's going to happen to him? You know, you play Tennessee first, you get beat up a little bit there, then you play Houston, you get sacked 7 times. Now what's going on in your head? Things are moving so damn fast. Like, you telling me that Mahomes hit that 1 year? Look how much better he is. Aaron Rodgers sitting that 1 year. Brady sitting that 1 year.
But all those teams had more stability than what Carolina had. So, like, and then the other part that you have to acknowledge.
Which is even more why I'm not putting that rookie out in that situation.
Yeah, but
there's no stability. I'm just going to throw you out there to the wolves. Here you go.
Okay, now try covering that team or being a fan of that team, and it's week 7, and you're 0-6 or 1-6.
That's fine.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to see those guys play.
You want to play them then, but from day one? From day one,
Bonte, like, this is the business model, you know. But you pointed out
it's not a good business. I don't think it's a good business model for these young guys. Brady even said it.
CJ Stroud played day one.
I said there's an exception. Said that there's exceptions.
Well, everyone thinks that the guy that they have is the exception for the most part, you know. And so I don't know. I think that for some people, sitting, sure. You know, if you have a right situation, for other people, you play. I think it's easy to nitpick every situation and say, well, this is what they should have done. I look at Carolina, and I think a big part of the whole Bryson is like, just look at the personnel. You traded everyone away. You had players and you traded those guys away. And so, I mean, he was put into a situation where it felt like the only thing that was going to happen was him failing. And I think Baker Mayfield's a great example. And he said it to him. He's like, and Baker had way more success this rookie year. He broke the touchdown passing record for rookies, his rookie year. He's like, look, man, like he's really young. He could bounce around and find a job. I look at like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, it felt like, has lived four lifetimes as a quarterback, you know? And
even Baker started off on the bench. He didn't play until that Thursday night game when Tyrod Taylor got hurt. He was on the bench to start his career. What was that, week three or week four, whenever he came into the game as a rookie? Just sitting a little bit. I'm not like Eli. He didn't play until what, week eight, week nine, and the Giants were 7-1.
Would they have with Kurt Warner?
Yeah. Kurt Warner, they were 7-1.
Kept fumbling.
And they were like, and they said, you know what? Let's play Eli. And then they won like one game the rest of the way. But I got it. At least he got to sit for a second, learn how to travel as a pro, learn how to prep for a game as a pro. That's all I'm saying. And look, there's going to be exceptions moving forward. There will be. There will be a C.J. Stroud. But for every C.J. Stroud, then we get like five quarterbacks who just flame out.
I think
we're not ready to roll.
I think we just get quarterbacks that flame out no matter what. Like Jordan, Justin Fields is a good example. Like Justin Fields played pretty much right away.
Right.
I don't think he'd be infinitely better had he sat a full season. I just think he is what he is, you know?
Maybe, but talent matters too around him, and I think Pittsburgh's bringing him along very, very well, very slowly. They're winning ugly. I want to wait on Justin Fields. Let me see it. Now, the release is slow, and I'm not the highest. I'm not the biggest Justin Fields fan. I wasn't the biggest fan of his coming out the draft. I was actually happy the Niners did draft him. I wanted Trey Lance, and we know how that worked out, but I don't know. We'll see.
Like, was Jacksonville going to sit Trevor Lawrence for a year?
Probably not, but I wouldn't have been mad at that. I would have understood
But if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, you want to see that guy.
Yeah, but the fans don't win games. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You can't let fans run your team. The coach has to run the team. The GM has to run the team. And you got to tell the fans, hey, we got to be patient. And now the fans don't want to be patient. Then you know what? Don't buy a ticket. Don't go to the game to watch. That's what I would say. You know, and I'm sorry. But once you start winning, the fans will come back anyway. That's just how it goes. But as a fan, if saying, I want to see Trevor right away. And then when he gets crushed, they're like, yo, dude, like, did Trevor get hurt his rookie year? If I'm not mistaken.
Been hurt almost every year with something. But that's also every quarterback in the league.
Battered.
Also, Urban Myers as head coach his first year.
Which was a nightmare.
He probably shouldn't have come off.
Right. He shouldn't have played. He should have been on the bench.
I think it's easier said than done. It's just, it's really difficult when the pressure of the fan base and the media, and then you have people's jobs, you know, on the line. Like, the longer you play, hypothetically, like Jacoby Brissett, right? And if you're losing, if you're winning, it's one thing, or if you can stay about 500, but if you're losing, like, there's pressure to put that guy out on the field. Like, we all knew Alex Smith wasn't ready at all, and it was a totally different era of quarterbacks coming in, and they played him, and they were an expansion team, and he was worse for it. The team was worse for it.
Well, he didn't start till like week five, though.
Yeah, I know, but Bonte, yeah. I was there for those first four games, and you know what I was saying?
I was there
play
for his first game.
I didn't want to watch Tim Rattay anymore.
Well, I was like, I watched Alex Smith that first game. I took my little brother Bernard to that game against the Indianapolis Colts, and I go, oh boy, this guy is overwhelmed.
He completed one pass.
We should not be playing this guy. And then he got hurt in Washington. I was like, you know what? I don't like injuries, but it may have been the best thing to happen to Alex Smith that year. He would have been crushed. I mean, he got crushed anyway for those first few years. All right, we're getting to McVay. We'll get to McVay, Shanahan. No, Shasky loves this, and I love it too. When I say Sean McVay, you say what? When I say Sean McVay, you say what? Because McVay and Shanahan will forever be linked. When the Niners interview McVay, the Rams hired him right after. Shanahan gets a job with the 49ers. They've been with their respective teams for the same amount of time. There's one thing that McVay has over Shanahan, and it's a Super Bowl ring. But who's the better coach? Who'd you rather have, McVay or Shady? Who'd you want?